doing such a great job on last week, and I will absolutely say that I appreciate all you have said that you've done such a tremendous job. So we're so thankful for that. Let's get into the word. Get your scripture sheet. Let's get started. Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50. Let's read this passage. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to eat with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hair of her head and began kissing his feet and anointing him with the perfume. Yes. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him. That she is a sinner. And Jesus responded and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he counseled the debts of both. So which of them will love him more? Simon said, I assume the one for whom he counseled the greater debt. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she has stopped kissing, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head at all, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but the one who is forgiven little, loved little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And then those who were reclining at the table with him began saying to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sin? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. Today, we want to finish our series.
All
right. Amen. Inviting the uninvited. And we talk about being the invitation.
Right.
Your life ought to be an invitation to people of Christ. And to the walk of faith, your life should be an invitation. That was the first message in this series. And then we talked about the bringer from Bethsaida.
Uh-huh.
Amen. We talked about how disciples went out and brought others, amen, to come and experience being a follower of Christ. Now, the last time we spoke, we asked a question, or the title was informed the question, why did he invite him? Why did Jesus invite Zacchaeus? And we tried to answer that question for you.
Right.
Now today I want to talk from this subject. This is the other kind of the other leads to them. We already talked about why did he invite him. Today I want to talk about who invited her. Who invited her? Mm-hmm. Let's see where we can go with this. And now, not that we don't do in our own culture. Kind of bridge that cultural gap. Because if I don't bridge that cultural gap, you will think that this passage is awkward. To say the least, and that's awkward and strange, because there's a cultural gap that we must be able to bridge. Right, so let's kind of get into this. Pharisee was having a ghetto. And he invited Jesus to be the honored guest.
Right.
The text comes and says they were at the table. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want you to think of the table as being the one we have on the picture in the back of the Lord's Supper. They didn't have a high table. It was a low table or a patio that they. So in order to eat, when they got around the table, they didn't have chairs at the table. At the table, they reclined and lay down on their left arm and their left side and ate with their right hand. Amen. And their head, the upper portion of the body was toward the table, and their feet pointed away from the table. So all of the guests were right there, the main guests. Now they were at Simon the Pharisee's house. And I need to tell you this early before I forget. Being a Pharisee, the word Pharisee has to do with somebody that the meaning of the word Pharisee, it means separated. The Pharisees were separated people. They tried to separate themselves from everything and everyone that we know. So all kinds of, we don't sex. Amen. We don't want to be around no evil. We are separate people. That's what the Pharisees were all about. So Simon was there. And he had invited this rabbi who had earlier talked, amen, at the temple, at the synagogue. And they brought him in, they brought him home. That was always an honor when somebody preached that and preached at the synagogue, if you brought him to your house.
All right.
It's kind of an IBA type of thing. We had a visiting evangelist, and he had done a good job, you know, Bible camp. It was always an honor thing, so he brought Jesus over to the house, and that was an honor thing. Now, you got to remember, back in these days, there was no television, so you could not tune in to the latest game, movie, amen. There was no internet, no Facebook, no online stuff, no social media. You just didn't have a lot of things to do. So whenever they would have one of these parties where a well-known guest was present, everybody in the neighborhood would get around the house. Now, the house is made in such a way that as they get around the house, everybody couldn't go in the house. Only those certain invited guests could go in the house, especially in the middle of the room where the table was. Now, there was a door open, and others could often, especially if it was an outdoor space, could get around the walls and watch.
Right.
Amen. But they couldn't recline at the table. But the door was always open because it was not only for the people in the house, but it was a thing, it was a gathering for the whole neighborhood. So anybody could come in and look and say, oh man, because they didn't have much else to do. So now that's where we are. And Simon the Pharisee, who always was about separating himself from the evil and the sinful, he was hosting, and his guest of honor was our Lord Jesus, who is Christ.
Okay.
something's getting there. It might be a, what an also might have been what we call, or what the Jews call, a reunion. And that's when they gather to talk about theological issues and discuss theological and issues about the Old Covenant and all of his laws. Remember, the Pharisees had a set of about 600 different laws that they and they added to that, amen, even more cultural traditions. Because they bought their traditions and made their traditions equal to Scripture. And sometimes that happens today. People make their traditions equal to what Scripture says. So I want you to know what's going on as we enter into this room. And all of a sudden, I said something startling, something strange to them, something shocking, because a woman enters the room. And she's not just like all the other women. As a matter of fact, there may not have been many women in the room, but usually the only women was in the room was the one that was serving the table. She enters the room and she's crying. She's crying. And she gets behind Jesus when Jesus is inclined at the table. And she's crying with her tears are like raining down to the point that her tears began to drop on the feet of Jesus. Yeah. And Jesus had just came off the dusty roads. He don't have a cellar. His sandals on. He's laying there. And the tears drop on Jesus' feet. Yeah. And as they drop on Jesus' feet, they make trails through the dust on his feet. Yes. All right. She realized that she's with a secret of tears. She's kind of bothers her. So she does what no Jewish woman did in public.
Yes.
They only did this at home or in the bedroom. She let her hair down.
Yeah.
Got out. And wiped Jesus' feet off.
Yes.
With her hair.
Yeah.
But she didn't sit there. After she wiped his feet with her hair, removed all the sand and dust from the robe, she anointed his feet. Not with water.
Yes.
But with a costly
perfume
that she kept in an alabaster jar. On her neck most of the time, because it gave such a pleasant fragrance.
Yeah.
But not only that, we'll see in a moment that that jar was important to her profession.
All right.
So see, everybody see. I want y'all to walk in the scene. I'm trying to check y'all scene now, and it's such there, Simon is looking.
Right.
And Simon says to himself, he didn't say it out loud. But you don't have to say it out loud for Jesus to hear it.
Right.
Because Jesus is God's son. He said it out loud. He will not be a prophet. Because if he was a prophet, he didn't know what manner of woman this is.
Yeah.
What kind of woman this is.
Yeah.
Because hey, everybody in the city knows her.
Yeah.
See, her sin was so her reputation and her sin was well known in the city.
Yeah.
Said she is a sinner. And anytime if we look in the New Testament and call the woman a sinner, it means, amen, she's a pain escort.
All right.
She'll be And he said, and he replied, well, say it, Jesus said, what you got to say? And Jesus began to tell a story. One of the guys, one of the officers down, amen, at Wells Fargo, on Capitol, or whatever your bank is, Do you see this one? not anoint my head wrong. Because it's wrong, so you went and get king of having you anointed his head with the olive oil, and he gave a better scent around, and the guest had a more pleasant scent around where he came in, so you anointed him with a little oil, and put on your hand and rubbed it in. That's the way it was. That was the custom. You kissed him when he came. Man kissed man, or that's the custom back in that day. Aqua strange was, but in that culture, it was gone. You gave me no kiss. But she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since the time I came in. You didn't have no wine. She wiped. She gave her tears wiped with her hair. She had not kissed my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head wrong, but she anointed my feet with perfume. You didn't even put the little olive oil on my head, the little glass off. The heavens smelled a little bit better when I came off the street. And sure, I was a guest and I was being honored. But she, with the most precious thing she had, because I could tell it was good perfume, this was the stuff you buy down at Walmart. I'm sorry. This wasn't on Walmart, because you don't put Walmart perfume in the alabaster.
Rock of Eden, he said, I like this song, there's one real
one thing that frustrates me. It still has an unpopped kernel in it.
Come on,
preacher. I'm fine. Right. And sometimes you try to eat the popcorn and one of the kernels in your tooth and mouth, you have to spit them out, you're unpopped.
Right, right, right.
Anybody have a problem with the unpopped kernel? You cannot pop all the corn. Because you'll burn your corn up trying to get the unpopped kernel. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Y'all don't understand. But sometimes, my brothers and sisters, that's the way it is in church. We all have experience because all of our people are in the same microwave. We've all experienced the same grace. Oh, amen. We've all experienced the same forgiveness. We've all had angels stationed around. Night and daytime. We've all been provided for us all. He's taking care of us all. He's woken up all this morning. We had a hell of a spirit and a reason, amen. A reason for my sin. We're in our right mind. Drove up here at night come. We all were pretty good to know. God has been good to all of us. We've all been in the same microwave. But some pop, and some are still turning. Some pop up the hallelujah. Some pop up the thank you, Jesus. Some pop up and say, the Lord is good to me. Some pop up and do a little dance. Some pop up with a song. Some pop up with tears. But there's some that just don't pop.
Preacher, preacher.
All right.
Somewhere you pop.
Yeah.
If you know how good God did to you, if you know where He brought you from, if you know where He saved you from, you are a pop.
Yeah, yeah, come on, come on.
Come on. Woo! If I were you, I would just hell for it. Every time I hear about the goodness of Jesus, and with it. invited Jesus.
Jesus.
He invited Jesus to Simon. But Simon was in power.
Yeah.
We whoever, see the person that invited got the power.
Right.
Or they could invite you up there, now you can't come.
Yeah.
So he thought he had the power. He invited Jesus. He invited Jesus. He thought he was pretty good. What he wanted was, what he wanted was an impersonal religion. He didn't want to get personal.
Jesus.
That's why he didn't get the water out.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't kiss.
Yeah.
That's why he had to do all the things you're supposed to do for a guest of honor. Because he didn't want personal. He didn't want anything personal. He wanted an impersonal religious discussion.
Jesus.
That's what he wanted. That's all he wanted. And then they would discuss. He said, well, Lord, you know, I'm pretty good. Just tell me, what must I do to be saved? What law do I have to keep? What regulation do you have to keep? Because really what Simon wanted to do, he had spiritual, he was self-righteous. And had spiritual pride. He said, I could be my own savior.
Jesus.
You just need to tell me what all I need to keep. And I keep them, I'm good forever. What he wanted was, I could be my own savior. I just need a teacher.
Jesus.
So he said, I'm pretty good. So he wasn't that excited about Jesus coming over.
My Lord.
But they said, we got a horn. But we don't know how she got.
You're right.
Who knows how she got? I'm quite sure when she was 9 years old or 6 years old,
yeah.
She was playing with her dog.
Yeah.
Playing with whatever toys she had available. She wanted to say, you know, one day I'm a man to use you.
Yeah.
One day I'm gonna give me a pick. One day I'm just going to give myself the man out of the man. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. That's my brother and sister. She did not want to be what she became. But circumstances and situations and life sometimes will put you in a place that you never dreamed of being. Maybe she was left alone and had kids that were crying out for food and hungry and belly. Maybe when she was growing up, amen, she lived in a house where she suffered. Somebody touched her that wasn't supposed to touch her. We don't know what broke her.
Yeah.
But she found herself out on the street trying to make it.
Yeah.
And she realized what she was doing didn't please God. It didn't please that you've been trying to make it so you stuck with each other. And they were giving them more and more rules. You gotta do this, you gotta stop it, you gotta do this, you gotta do this, you gotta do this. And it was just heavy. It was heavy on her soul, and she was bad at that. But I told you before Jesus came to this little dinner, he was in a temple. Or in synagogue. And in the synagogue, Jesus gave her an invitation. Who invited her? Jesus invited her.
Yeah.
Because a few moments ago, or maybe a day or so ago, before we came to this gathering, she had heard Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heard for all the laws and all the religious things that they wanted to do in her sin. They were bearing her down. She just heard Jesus say it. And she said, I just want the rest that he purposed. I'm tired of doing what I've been doing. heavy laden.
Yes.
Come. The invitation is not really from us. It's always from Him. Come unto me. Oh!
Yes.
I'll give you
rest.
Come, but you don't need a teacher. You need a savior.
Yeah.
Right? She realized, I don't need nobody to tell me what I think, tell me what I'm doing wrong, tell me all that I need to do right. Right now, I tried all that, and all that stuff. And right now, I need somebody that loves me enough and think I'm worth something, think I'm worth enough to be my savior. I can need somebody, amen, because I'm in debt, and I owe someone because of the life I've lived. And if there's any way I can get my debt canceled, I can't pay. I've been trying to pay, but my debt is too much. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. I'll tell you what I do. I'll go to Calvary Cross and I'll hang on that cross and pay your debt and pay for your sin. And then you can be free.
Yeah.
I won't get paid for the sin that you've done in the past, but I'll pay so well that everything you do in the future will be covered.
Yeah.
Covered.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him. Oh, He didn't pay my brothers and sisters. He didn't pay 7,500. He didn't pay 75,000. But He paid for all my sin on Calvary. And He gave me eternal life. Sam got what he wanted, an ethical lesson. She got eternal life. Who invited me? Everybody does. Come unto me. All you that are heavily laden.
Yes.
I give you rest. And this is what she needs, she said. When you left the last line, verse 15. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you.
Yeah.
Because you put faith not in what you do, but what I did. On the cross, that Savior.
Yeah.
Go, and really, the Greek said, go into peace.
Mm.
You hear me? Say, come, you better, peace means a state when you feel like everything's all right.
Yeah.
I got a feeling?
Yeah.
Everything gonna be all right.
Yeah.
Peace is when you know everything gonna be all right.
Yeah.
He'll give you peace.
Yeah.
Amen. When Jesus, and the way that Jesus loves, he loves you in a way that you want to pass it on. Simon wanted an impersonal religion. But she got a personal relationship.
Right.
Jesus does not invite us to an impersonal religion, but to a personal relationship.
It's true.
Well, I'll be your savior. If you put in faith, I'll give you the strength to begin to overcome a lot of that stuff that's going on in your life. Make you more and more like me.
Yes,
you
will.
I give you strength.
Yes, you will.
Stand by me. I will.
Yes, you will.
I won't give up on you. I know you've been trying to quit, but it's hard to quit.
Yes.
And I'm there with you. Give me the strength.
Come on. Yeah.
Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. I'm trying to say, don't give up on Jesus because He's never given up on you.
Freedom.
You can walk with peace. Say
you
got peace. Everything going crazy around you.
Yeah.
It's got peace.
Yes.
There's a passage to all other stats. Hold on, come on. How you had it? These are all you going to do.
Yes.
But you know you ain't God's man. God's got it. He got everything he wanted. He got his lesson. Simon got his lesson. But the sinner got eternal life.
God say, Lord have mercy.
Yes. If you listen, you hear
me.
I invite you.
Yeah.
I'm not really inviting you, but He already invited you. Come on to me. Don't come, just come to church. Hold on for the church and still got some issues.
Come on.
It's okay to have issues.
Right.
It's okay to have issues, but I'm saying don't just come to church. Get the Savior at the church where you begin to work on those issues.
He
will save you.
Yeah.
He'll change you. Yes. And He'll give you heaven today. Amen.
Yes.
He'll give you heaven today and you begin. gossiping with me. If you hear my voice, sister, I said, how in the world treat you like you're worth nothing? Jesus said, you're worth something to me.
Yes.
That's why I got on Calvary. But that wasn't the end of the story. You know that battle struck. I stayed there Saturday, but I will tell you, man, it's Sunday morning. I got a raw power in my hands.
God, thank you.
It do what I did on that cross. Lord.